In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Valerie, I asked you a question about whether you think it's a bad thing for a parent to apologize to his children. And we've been talking about leading our children to trust in the Lord, find their forgiveness in the Lord, find their strength in the Lord, and just your daily, constant, repeated emphasis that He is our provider, He's our Father, He's our refuge. But parents sometimes say, well, I would never want to admit to my children that I've made a bad mistake, because then that would undermine my authority.
I think we do have to admit to our children that we've made many bad mistakes, and I think we should do it as quickly as we realize it. I know my oldest son has pointed out to me things that I haven't stayed consistent with, and I've had to admit, and I do very easily admit, that I have not been able to be consistent, and I'm truly sorry for it. And I want to ask his forgiveness, or any of the children whom it has hurt. They need to see that Christ's blood covers all of our sin. They need to see that we are totally dependent upon the Lord and His righteousness. I think in motherhood, there's a lot of suffering deep down in our hearts. We read that Mary pondered these things and kept them in her heart. And I think because we bear the children and we nurture them and we see them grow, we want so much to see perfect children because we've borne them. And God uses this tenderness that's deep in our hearts to show us what He has done, to make us realize what He has done in giving up His own Son to die for us. And God wants to show us that it's His power and it's His grace that's going to make these children godly adults. It's not our performance, but it's our dependence upon God's power that will help these children to grow in grace. I think of how my hopes were constantly dashed against the rock of my children's sinfulness and my own sinfulness. And for so long, I thought, it's because I'm such a terrible mother that they're so terrible. And of course, there are certain things that happen because the mother is not teaching obedience and or the mother's not being consistent, and the children end up being very naughty. But I'm thinking just about their sinfulness. I remember thinking, how can my children be so mean to each other, when certainly Walt and I have not given nasty, dirty looks and said mean and ugly things, and I would be just shocked at their nastiness and their selfishness. And so I started out by saying there's much suffering going on deep down in our hearts when we want to see our children perfect. God wants us to be at the place of utter dependence upon His perfection, His holiness. And as we depend upon His holiness, I think, I want to read a quote from your book, Let Me Be a Woman. It's at the end of a chapter about masculinity and femininity, and you've been talking about Mary, who had the willingness to enter into the suffering and to receive and to carry and to give life, to nurture and to care for Jesus. And then you say, the strength to answer this call, the call of motherhood, is given us as we look up toward the love that created us, remembering that it was that love that first, most literally, imagined sexuality, that made us at the very beginning real men and real women. As we conform to that love's demands, we shall become more humble, more dependent on Him and on one another, and even, dare I say it, more splendid. And it's our dependence upon the Lord that brings him glory and brings real splendor into the home.
Isn't it sad that the whole question of sexuality has been treated in what I call a profane way?
Yes.
It's profanity because it's treating something which is just loaded with significance as though it meant nothing at all.
Right.
I've heard people say sex is nothing more than eating or drinking or breathing, which, of course, is moonshine, rubbish, because God clearly tells us that he made man in his own image, and man is the generic term there. Male and female created he them. So there's a sense in which we women and the men represent the image of God in a way that the animals don't. We are unique in God's creation in being made in his image. So that book, which you mentioned, do you want to tell us a little bit about what that book is?
Let Me Be a Woman was written by my mother for me as a wedding present. And my husband and I received it shortly before our wedding, and we read it together on our honeymoon. It is a book about womanhood. And I know you've said before some men have read it and found more about how to be a man from learning about what a real woman is in this book. It's a wonderful book, and I've been skimming through it just lately, needing to read it again. There is such splendor and such glory in the love of a man and a woman that is a mystery, as Paul said, that represents Christ and the church. As a couple grows more and more in love and grows more and more committed to God being the center of their marriage, I think sex becomes more and more wonderful. And you say in this book, Let Me Be a Woman, that there are many times when you will find it impossible to give, and your husband in love to you does not demand. There are times when you will be ravenously hungry, and he will want nothing so much as to go to bed and go at once to sleep. Your love, then, will want what he wants more than what you wanted yourself. And I think there's a fundamental principle that we must learn as wives, in that self-giving means wanting the other person's happiness and pleasure more than our own. And I think for many years I wanted to love my husband more than I did, and I began to ask God to increase my love for him. And I believe God has answered that prayer, and I'm so thankful, and I believe God will answer any prayer that is the deepest desire of our heart that is according to his will. I mean, he answers it maybe yes, maybe no, but he does answer prayer. Intimacy in marriage has to grow and get better and better if the couple is growing in the Lord. And we've found this to be true in our marriage. And there have been many times when I've felt very guilty because I couldn't give myself to my husband because I was so tired. And yet God has provided other times to be able to do that. And I want to read a little bit more from this chapter where you say, "It will not always be clear-cut and simple. In this matter, as in all others, where your life is bound closely to your husband's, you will sometimes be aware that you need help." And as I said, I asked the Lord to increase my love for him. "Remember first that love itself, the educated heart, has a way of teaching you what to do. Real love is action. Real love is laying down your life for someone else. Worry is worse than useless. It's destructive. And worry or fear is definitely going to ruin intimacy. Resentment is going to ruin intimacy. And I think we do need to ask God to help us get rid of resentments, help us to get rid of fears, and to be all there when we give ourselves to our husbands. I know one of the things my father said was, "Wherever you are, be all there. Don't be thinking of a million other things.
Live to the hilt.
Live to the
hilt. Every situation you believe to be the will of God." Sex is the will of God, too, isn't it, for husbands and wives?
And it is God who thought up sex. I'm quoting again from your book. "Every detail of your needs includes sexual ones. You can talk to him about them. You can't shock or embarrass him. If any of you does not know how to meet any particular problem, he has only to ask God, who gives generously to all men without making them feel foolish or guilty."
That's a quote from the book of James, isn't it? Yes.
So I want to encourage wives to be freed up. One of my husband's favorite expressions is to be freed up, and that is simply to enjoy the love of God and to enjoy the husband that God has given them. And I've found it to be true that the more I'm thankful for my husband and what God has given me in him, the more I love him.
Do you think of him as a gift from God?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He's a unique gift, and each of us wives have unique husbands. And, of course, there are all different sets of problems. But through it all and underneath it all, God wants to make his glory known through your marriage. And we're just rejoicing in the fact that we're truly in love, and we're truly thankful for each other, and we truly want to set an example to our children of what a joyful marriage can be. And I do want to mention this. I'm sure you've mentioned this many times on your program, that a sense of humor is absolutely necessary. You have got to laugh about things.
One has to be able to laugh at oneself, too.
Absolutely.
And what was that you two came to the conclusion that you were both...
Airheads.
Airheads. And that lets you off the hook on all kinds of things that might have led to big arguments and competition. Mm-hmm. You're both airheads. Well, I would disagree. I don't think either one of you is an airhead, but I think it's just wonderful to see the warmth. And it's very obvious to me that you're growing in love. Let me just close this program with one simple definition of what love is. I think you've been saying it in effect. Love is a concern for the good of the beloved and the intention of unity. Mm. Love is a concern for the good of the beloved and the intention of unity. Mm. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, I would.
Thank you, Val, for being with us again today.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.